Blog Talk Radio.
Jock Journal Radio. Jock Journal Radio brings you NFL Talk Late Night. Just two hardcore fans talking football after their kids have gone to bed, and they invite you to join our conversation. If there's a hot topic or even a cold topic, these chumps will be drawing it up every night. So leave those nudie sites alone and call us. And if you're lucky, they might give you my number. NFL Talk Late Night from Jock Journal Radio.
Well, Thursday Night Football has been really good tonight. I'm enjoying this game. I'm enjoying what I like. Jock Stars, I'm hoping you're watching this game because it's the first game I've ever seen where there's no away jerseys. It's throwing me off. I'm seeing red and I'm seeing green. I'm thinking it's Christmas time. Is that messing with you at all, Matt?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know about messing with me. It seemed like Christmas time too. But you know what? I really like the jerseys. I thought they're awesome. The shiny green on the Jets, the face masks have that green, and then the Jets logo, I think it looks sick. Yeah, that was great. I want the Chiefs to get jerseys like that.
I think everybody's taken a page from the Oregon Ducks book with all those really neat uniforms they have. But before we begin, I'm Nash.
And I'm Matt.
And you're listening to NFL Talk Late Night. Guys, before we begin, I want to go through the show and let you guys know how to get a hold of us. This is an interactive show. We enjoy calls all the way through it. We want you to jump in and feel like you could talk about the topics that we're talking about while we're talking about them. So the number to call is 347-850-8627. Again, write it down, 347-850-8627. Now, we also play this game called Shock Talk every night. Tonight, the pot is up to $64.50, and we're hoping that one of you guys get a chance to take some of that money home tonight. And here's how you go ahead and pick questions. It could be questions about anything, hypothetical, real world, preference, anything that you want to ask us a question about. And we're going to both answer them, but one of us is going to lie to one of the three questions that we answer. And if you guys figure it out, then somebody's going to win some money. So text 77948. You type the word text and then space and then the message or the question that you have, okay? So,
and let's, Nash, every caller and every person that texts in, we're going to add money to the pot. So the more you text, the more you call in, that means we're going to add more money to the pot. So we want you guys to keep getting. I mean, it's not much. It's 60. How much? 64?
$64.50.
Yeah, we want it to be $100, $200, $300. We don't care. Keep going. Call, text in. Let's build the pot up so that we can give it away.
So, guys, before we do, let's go straight to the news.
So these idiots are talking news now? Are they pulling this off of Jock Journal? So I guess this proves they can read. What a joke.
All right, this is straight from Blake Gardner of JockJournal.com. He wrote an article today that has caused a little controversy inside the office. Everybody's talking about it, and it's actually starting to bleed over into other medias as other people are beginning to talk about it based on what has been written here. The NFL drug policy. Now, legal marijuana use, does that help performance in any way? And nobody can find it as a performance-enhancing drug, though it does fall under the substance abuse policy of the NFL. But is this antiquated? Because here we are in 2015, we got, what, 6 states now that have it legalized. It's essentially what people are calling the new prohibition or the new alcohol. If alcohol is legal in states, why can't the players who are in the NFL use marijuana if it's legal? Why does the NFL have the right to take that away from them?
No, I mean, I totally agree. I don't think they should. I don't think they should drug test any NFL players for marijuana anymore. It's antiquated. There's a lot of jobs, and I don't think jobs should do it either. And I bring this up a lot. This is a job. We want to make it that it's much more than that. But at the end of the day, NFL is a job for players. They go to work. They go to practice. They check in. They show up for games. They are on the job. We don't drug test. Most places don't drug test unless you're operating some sort of heavy machinery, or there's a reason to actually drug test you for something, because you could injure people if you're there and you're intoxicated. This isn't the case. I don't think we should be drug testing anybody in the NFL for marijuana anymore. It doesn't make sense, and it is antiquated, especially not in the states that it's legal in. But if you're going to not drug test the players in the states that it's legal in, you have to not drug test the rest of the players. So I don't think anyone should get drug tested for marijuana. It's not a performance enhancing drug, unless you're maybe an offensive lineman and you get the munchies and it helps you gain weight, but that's about it.
Oh yeah, you smoke a little weed and bam, there goes the pantry, it's all gone, all the chips in the house completely missing, and the kids' Captain Crunch is completely obliterated. But guys, think about this. I'm in the middle of this. I don't think that the NFL needs to go ahead and completely abolish the policy. However, in the states that it is legal in, I think that they need to open it up to the players, because what we have here is a substance abuse issue. And if you're not going to ban something that is addictive and causes a lot more problems like alcohol, you're making a prejudicial statement that's based on just the concept of the basic belief of the particular drug. That's not what this is about. If it's legal in these states, they should be allowed to use it. I mean, unless they're like, you know, an air traffic
control. So you're saying NFL wide?
No, in the states that they belong to a state that's like the Seattle Seahawks. And
that's
Washington,
not going to work.
It's
of course, you're a Seahawks fan. That's what you want. You want every NFL player that wants to smoke weed to try and go to Seattle and Denver? Hell no.
That
no
would
deal.
That would be kind of nice to be able to no pull deal. Ricky Williams out of retirement. But no, listen.
He's here in Austin probably. Getting high right now.
No, I'm thinking here. What if you just open it up for the places that it is legal, so that way you don't have the public policy issue? I understand how a lot of people go ahead and get this the face of the NFL. You can't have people doing illegal things. You get, before you know it, you'll have people like Dez Bryant at the strip club with photos of him smoking weed. You don't want that. You want to basically have a situation where you guys get a good public image. And I understand that the NFL is very protective of their public image. So just take it where it's legal, take it and allow it, because there's nothing that can hurt their public image at that point. Do you see what I'm saying?
It should have the same laws that or the same rules that they do around alcohol. It's really simple. If you get in trouble, if you get, a driving while high or an under the influence or, high and disorderly, you raid a 7-Eleven and you start stealing hot dogs or something, and you get in trouble with the law, then you're in trouble. There's consequences with the NFL. But if not, they should have it just like alcohol. If you go out and you handle yourself responsibly, if you go home after, on game weekend and to recruit, especially for this, there's a lot of medicinal benefits to marijuana. And these are players who are getting the crap beat out of them all the time. It could help them actually get better. So why not allow them to take advantage of something like that when everyone else is starting to come around and realize that, a marijuana law is antiquated most of the time?
Well, I think eventually the federal government's going to have to do something about it. You can't have something that's completely legal in one state be a felony in another state. And we've already seen the poor guy.
Williamson County, Texas can.
It just doesn't seem to make any sense. There needs to be some level of congruency across the laws. And I understand states should have their own sovereignty and everything else along those lines. But what if I'm a Washington state resident who has a medical marijuana card, but I'm on vacation in Utah, of all the places, and that doesn't allow for that? I get pulled over. The police officer sees the marijuana, and I'm going to jail because it's not permitted. And that's what's not the good thing here, is that because of this incongruency, not only in the nation, we also have it in the NFL. Perhaps the NFL is being a little bit too stringent on their marijuana policy, and they did back it off since the point of Josh Gordon in Cleveland. They went ahead and tripled the amount that you could have, so that way the possibility of like secondhand smoke or that kind of thing can't cause issues. But this is big. this is a thing that where players are considering the use of this as a way to like not feel so much extra pain and use of the edibles and stuff like that.
And
I can understand
narcotics and not have to take Vicodin, not have to take any other narcotics. The other thing that this brings to mind is Adderall, which is a huge problem. But if you have a prescription for Adderall, you can take it in the NFL. It shouldn't be any different. If someone has a prescription for marijuana, you should be able to take it. Let me tell you what, Adderall is about 1,000 times worse than weed. I mean, it's a heavy it's a heavy drug. It's speed. Very, very plainly, it's speed. So if someone can have a prescription and still use that, I don't see any reason they shouldn't be able to have a prescription and use marijuana. To start,
yeah.
I think it should be. I think they should do away with testing for it altogether. But I think to start, you had a good point. That'd be a great way to start saying, hey, okay, either in these states or with these people who have prescriptions for it, we haven't had any problems. You're not seeing, you know, they didn't wander out onto the field high looking for a bag of Doritos. So, you know, we haven't seen anything happen because of this, and we should continue to allow it.
I think Rex Ryan might have quit using weed because that guy dropped 85 pounds. Look at him on the sideline right now. He looks like half the man that he once was.
I think he got his stomach stapled.
he got something stapled. It looks like me version of Rex Ryan. It's actually, and Rex Ryan's a lot like my grandpa. So when I look at him, I always see kind of like that my grandpa smile on his face. And it's weird to see like a sucked up version of my grandfather on the sidelines in an NFL uniform. It's kind of cool. So
here's the other point that this brings up, because what you run into is a very sticky situation with, and no pun intended, if you're a pothead. here's what you run into with this sort of a thing. When you're outlawing something like this. And this is a good point that was brought up on jockjournal.com is this. And the NFLPA lawyer for Tom Brady brought this up. His argument was basically, if a player knows that another player is doing steroids or smoking pot, then aren't they at least generally aware that the player is violating the league's substance abuse policy and thus putting the league's integrity in jeopardy? Basically, they're trying to turn everyone into a snitch. That if you know someone is doing it, it's your obligation to say something. You're going to turn people against each other if this becomes a major issue and they continue to go forward, because so many players are smoking. Let's be honest, players are smoking pot. That's it. There's just, and you say whatever you like. LeGarrette Blount and Le'Veon Bell arrested last year with some, I mean, they're getting high. It's a matter of what the NFL does about this now, and that's why we're talking about it. Obviously, it's becoming such a large issue that they're going to have to either say, okay, we're not going to drug test for it anymore, or take a hard stance on it, and then you're turning players against each other.
You bring up a good point. And, you know, the reality here is that you're going to take care of a lot of the other problems that the NFL faces by simply allowing this. You're not going to have as much domestic violence. I know that sounds kind of weird, but I've yet to find an aggressive pothead. I mean, aside from aggressively eating a lot of food.
So you're saying if Greg Hardy smoked weed, he wouldn't have abused his girlfriend?
I'm not necessarily saying that. You ever try to like consider the thought of fighting somebody while you're completely baked? It just doesn't happen. You just don't have that kind of ambition. So these sorts of things can just slowly, and not only that, as the THC will build up in you, it calms you. It has that calming euphoric sense, and that can help some of these players who are not only suffering from brain trauma, PTSD, but also have all kinds of different issues that are going on. That marijuana can actually help the brain go to a more euphoric and easygoing, mellow state, which would probably help out players like Dez Bryant, who is in the news today. He was
spoken like a true pothead there, Nash. Well done.
Dez Bryant was today using a racial slur. Okay, let's go through this really quick. This is from Pro Football Talk, a news feed that we have. It's written by Josh Alper, and it's available on jockjournal.com. On Thursday, Robert Klemko of the MMQB.com reported that Cowboys receiver Dez Bryant blew up at a reporter with a profane outburst in the Cowboys locker room. We got some video of that particular thing. Of course, video doesn't show up online, but we have the audio for you to listen to. Understand there is some strong language. So if you have children in the room or you are listening to this and you're easily offended, please come back to us in about 45 seconds.
You talking to the wrong people. Well, I'll make sure I put it out then. Since y'all not gonna say nothing. I'm gonna make sure y'all call Street a Nigga. I'm gonna post that on Twitter. And then I'm gonna let them know why I do this. Why I do this. I'm gonna let it be known why I do it.
You know, it didn't really come out as well as it does on the video. There's many people in that room who are kind of holding Dez Bryant back as he was working his way into the face of the reporter who made this. You know, when we first got the word on this, we were initially thinking that this is probably a media member who might have taken something too far. Now it's starting to look like a media member who might have just been inappropriate at the wrong time, and somebody who decided to go completely ballistic on that fact. What would you see?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the video too, and I was reading a story about this earlier. Someone said something to offend Dez Bryant, and then he took it a little farther. I think someone wrote something as well that probably stemmed from them getting into an argument about something that they had written. And Dez Bryant brought out a great point. In the article, he says, you know, hey, we are people too. We have families, and we have to deal with the stuff that's written about us, good or bad, true or false. We still have to deal with it. So do our families, and the people around us have to hear this on a constant basis, and they have to deal with it. And it sucks sometimes, and it's frustrating. And, you know, he didn't, obviously, you heard him in there. He's upset. He doesn't want to deal with that. I think I would be the same way. I mean, we forget that these are humans. They're under a microscope. If you put my life under a microscope, I'm screwed. I'm in trouble because, you know, anyone is. We're all human. We make mistakes. And you show up for work 10 minutes late, or you leave 5 minutes early, or you have a frustrating day, so you cuss at someone in traffic or something, and all of that stuff is posted everywhere. So yeah, I mean, do I blame him for you know, flipping out a little bit? No, not at all. These reporters take it too far. Obviously, this reporter, again, and in the thing, I think the reporter said something to him, called him some sort of a name, and not a racial slur. The reporter that he was talking to in the video is black too, so he wasn't like saying a racial slur, but he probably called him some sort of, you know, a term or said something to him, and Dez Bryant got pissed off about it and said, you know, hey, shut up. And why shouldn't he? And anywhere else, he would have the ability to tell him to shut up and mind his own goddamn business. But in this, it becomes a news story and people are talking about it.
In fact, I said, yeah, I blew up on the media, but report why I blew up on y'all, saying I don't give a beep about me. And calling players beep is not professional, Bryant. Now,
he's right.
And it isn't. It isn't. However, I can imagine, and I hate to use this term, but you have a no-name reporter from a no-name publication like the MMBQB.com trying his best, build a rapport with a receiver he barely knows in a locker room, trying to get that question that he needs to. Could he have unintentionally, instead of saying my brother, said something that sounds a little bit like,
don't even try. Well, we get what he said.
Exactly.
We get what he said. No, even if he said that, it wouldn't have been anything. That's not what offended him. You think Dez Bryant's going to get offended? That's not going to offend him. That's like me and you saying, hey, bro, come over here. It's not anything big deal. He said something to offend him, and he reported something or said something in his reporting to him and talking to him or asked him a question that was offensive, and he had to deal with it, and that's what happened. And I don't blame him. Good for Dez Bryant. Look, you can say this about some players in the NFL. Dez Bryant you're not going to call say that guy's not a good teammate. He doesn't get fired up in practice. I watched him with Matt Cassel as his quarterback, clapping Matt Cassel on and being excited about it, happy to be out there. Dez Bryant's turned into a pretty upstanding member of the NFL community. So, you know, if he got to this point, then the person said or did something that was over the line, and good for him. They should have kicked that guy out of the locker room and not let him come back, period.
I think that's probably what ended up happening in this case.
No, Jason Garrett removed Dez, asked Dez Bryant to leave the locker room and got him out of there.
Well, of course, at that point, he was the hot one. That's what you'd have to do in a case like that in that moment. However, when all is said and done, I'm pretty sure that this guy's not going to be coming back to any Dallas Cowboy locker room anytime soon. Get to Eddie Lacy. As we've been talking about this all week long, Eddie Lacy, what is going on with them? Today he stated, and it's again football talk, it's indicated Smith. Eddie Lacy is quoted as, "I'm not hurt, I'm not overweight, and I don't know what it is." So the article comes in and says, "Is Packers running back Eddie Lacy playing so badly? Some people say his ankle is bothering him. Others say he's overweight. Lacy says neither of those is the case." What the heck do you think it could be at this point? Lost Matt there for a second, so I'm going to go ahead and...
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
I was thinking about that. We talked about this yesterday. This is not the same Packers offense that you're used to seeing. The loss of Jordy Nelson has really hurt that team more than it's hurt Lacy, and it's hurt the way that this offense functions. I mean, we saw it in the last couple of games. So the first part of the season is different. The first part of the season, Aaron Rodgers is playing fairly well. They're not using, but even then, with him playing very well, they're not putting themselves in the short yardage situations that they used to be in last year. They're having to do a lot of third and longs. They're passing a lot. They're in situations where they're continually passing because they're not in short yardage situations. And so Eddie Lacy's not effective with that. He is a guy where you give him the ball and you get him a bunch of steam and he gets you 4 or 5 yards. And then one out of every, you know, 6, 7 of those runs, he breaks it for 15 or 20 yards or there's a large hole and he gets through it. That's not this Packers offense. They're not in those situations. That's why Starks is excelling and that's why they're shifting over to him because they can throw a screen pass or a bubble pass or they can get him out in space and get him the ball and he can make something happen and get him 6 or 7 or 8 yards. Eddie Lacy is not that player, and he's not going to do that. So, he hasn't been getting the reps. And then when that starts to happen and he doesn't get those situations and he doesn't get the opportunity to start getting a feel for the game, he's not going to do as well. And so you have a half a season of that. No, he's not doing as well because they haven't been giving him the same opportunities and they're not the same offense, especially in the last couple of games. The receivers couldn't get open, so you're constantly in third and longs, and it's up to them to be in a shootout. And Aaron Rodgers has to win the game for you, and some of those he can and some he can't. And that's what you're seeing. The receivers aren't open. They're not going to – Eddie Lacy's not an amazing catcher either. But even if you do, he's not the one. He's not the guy that's going to make someone miss. He's either going to run over you, hit the hole, or that's it, or you're going to take him down. And that's what's happening with it.
Yes, but you got James Starks right there. Many people feel it's an inferior back who is doing better. And, you know, so many fantasy people are literally at the end of their rope with this guy. He was a top 5 pick in most fantasy leagues all the way across the nation. And here he is laying eggs all the way through the season and is now the backup. This is the only reason we're even talking about this is because of fantasy sports. Any other way, it's not even a story. But Eddie Lacy is not capable of doing whatever it was that he was capable of doing last year. Yes, he is bigger. He's not saying he's fat, but he is bigger. And yes, they're not as spread out because of what you just said there. Good old Jordy Nelson being gone is the reason that they don't have the ability to go to spread that situation out. They're stacking the box full of 7 people, and it's a big problem. I got really screwed in one of the leagues we were in as I took Eddie Lacy on a really crummy trade, and the guy's actually texting me right now, laughing at me about it, and as he's listening. So thank you for having Mayhill listen to this one. But yeah, it's a case of I had belief in him. However, it's completely gone. At this point, he's just waiver wire fodder, and I don't believe you're ever going to have
a comeback
from him, because he is just another Trent Richardson, a vaunted Alabama running back who just goes
serious?
To the NFL and just falters. The only Alabama running back who's worth a damn in the NFL right now, Mark Ingram.
You have no idea what you're talking about. You know what? You should drop. And this goes to everyone. If you're in, and not just in my fantasy league, but especially if you're in any one of my leagues, please drop Eddie Lacy. Go move on from him so that I can pick him up and play him in the playoffs when I'm playing you and he can go off. Eddie Lacy's going to right the ship, and he definitely will. He's to compare him to Trent Richardson is ridiculous, and it's absolutely unwarranted. You can't expect this guy, when you're not playing him in the right situations, to do something that is out of his character. You can't expect him. That'd be like telling him, okay, you know, lose 75 pounds and come in and turn into James Starks. He's not going to do that. This is the kind of runner that he is. He's not going to become that kind of guy. So, I mean, the Packers know this too. It's why, you know, yeah, they're starting Starks because he fits better what that offense is. But as they pick up steam and they start getting their legs under them offensively, they're going to get Lacy back in there and he's going to do just fine. They're going to start using him the way he needs to be used. So I hope, you know, and I just watched the whole thing of people who dropped Devonta Freeman for kickers. You know, if you read Matthew Berry, he did this whole thing about people at the beginning of the season who dropped, you know, and they had a bunch of screenshots. Devonta Freeman for a kicker, Devonta Freeman for, you know, a defense, Seattle's D or something like that. And those people are kicking themselves. If you give up on Eddie Lacy right now, you're going to kick yourselves in the playoffs when you need him and he's not there. You need to put him on the bench, let him get through this, which he will get through it, and they're going to start using him better. You don't think they know the weapon that they have there? They're going to use him better. Just give it time. Or if you're not patient like Nash, drop him to the bench so someone else can pick him up and make you pay for it later.
Okay, we're going to see a fantasy trade on the air right now, as suggested by one of our listeners. I am offering you Eddie Lacy for Kendrick West. If you can't, if you put your money where your mouth is and live up to that, and we'll go ahead and make that trade happen.
No, I'm not. Hey, I'll trade you for Eddie Lacy gladly. I'm not going to give you Charkandrick West because I think he's just fine and he's playing, and I need him to play this week. But I have some other players. I'll trade you back for Calvin Johnson that you traded me for him in the first place. Don't forget, I was the one who traded you Eddie Lacy for Calvin Johnson earlier this year. You thought it was someone else, but it was me. So if you want to trade back for that trade, I'll gladly do it right now, or I'll give you another running back because Eddie Lacy is going to pick it up. And when I'm in the playoffs, I'm going to need him. So I will do that. I'll put my money where my mouth is.
Okay, we'll work on that trade during the break. While you're on the break, guys, I want you to go ahead and listen to this little parasound we found, and we have a caller. I'm going to ask that caller to please hold on through the break as we're going to go to a cute little parody song and the break, and then we'll come right back and we'll be talking a little bit more Eddie Lacy and the Bills and Jets post-game show.
Hey, no, hey, I'm taking the Panthers and the Broncos. I'm staying away from our division because it's garbage. I got to run. I love you, Eli.
Dale, it's me. I think I'm breaking up with the Eastern NFC. It might be over for these teams. They say that cream's supposed to rise, girl, but our division's curdling. DeMarco, can you hear me? I'm in Philadelphia dreaming about the stud you used to be when you were blocked for running free. Have you forgotten how it felt not to play for Chip Kelly? There's such a difference between the Eagles and the decent O-line. I think I finally
Hey, we ain't got time for that, man. Oh, we definitely got time for that. Woo, bring it home.
Fantastic guest appearance by Dr. Ken Jones.
That's the best one ever.
Finally, can we take a moment and stop listening to these idiots long enough to get the Cars for Kids jungle stuck in my head?
Cars for Kids, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids, 1-877 Cars for Kids, donate your car today.
Also on the web at carsforkids.com, that's cars with a K. We're a recognized 501c3 charity organization, so you'll receive a maximum tax deduction. What's more, you'll receive a free vacation voucher of 3 days and two nights.
1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids, 1-877 Cars for Kids, donate your car today.
Are you looking for the web's best sports news? Visit jockjournal.com. Sports media has lost its touch. It seems that journalists are scared to report what they see, in fear of losing access to the teams they cover. At jockjournal.com, you get inside information on the entire NFL community without all the politics or fears other writers have. That's jockjournal.com. When you need the NFL sports news, information, opinions, fantasy football, or discussions, there is only one place to go, and it's jockjournal.com.
Okay, we're back. I had to surf porn and post my pics on an adult website.
Okay, guys, welcome back to the break. From the break, go ahead and give us a call. We have one person on the line already, and we're going to be bringing him in a second. I understand there are some technical issues with the connection that's going on. We're troubleshooting them at the moment, so just hang on. It will get better. I know it's cracky. We're sorry about that. Go ahead and text 77948 with your Shock the Jock submissions, and type the word text, then space, and then your message. Matt, while you go ahead and take this caller, I'll go ahead and work on some of these technical issues for a few moments. So give me about 3 minutes with this caller, okay?
Okay, great. Hey, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Great. What's your name, caller?
Caleb.
Where are you calling from?
Kansas City.
There you go. Okay, give us your question. What do you got?
Well, after a strong start against the Houston Texans, I'm trying to figure out after we had a little bit of a shaky rest of the season and coming back from a strong performance in London, you think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to make a run?
That's a great question. And people who have been listening have probably heard me say this. I mean, you know, I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, but I am a realist. I do think the Kansas City Chiefs have an opportunity to make the playoffs here. We're looking at teams right now. I just saw it on Thursday Night Football. They were doing the wild card picture in the playoff race. There's 4-4 teams that are in the chase still. And so I think they have an opportunity. They're 3-4 right now. They have an opportunity to make something happen. It starts first and foremost with Denver this weekend. We have this nemesis with beating the Denver Broncos. Screw them. I hate the Denver Broncos. And I think this, here's what I think. We played the hardest part of the schedule in the beginning of the year. We've had a season prior to this where we played the hardest part of the schedule at the end of the year, and we started the season 8-0. This team can beat the teams it's supposed to beat, just like we did in London. We beat Detroit. That's a team we should beat. We're a better team than them, and we went in there and we take care of that. And on the other ones, we've been in games with teams that are much better than us. We've been in games with Cincinnati Bengals. We lost that game, but it wasn't a true beating. I mean, we still were in that game. We were well within beating the Denver Broncos if Jamal Charles hadn't fumbled the ball. So this team can win, and they can hang with the elite teams in the NFL. It's just a matter of finishing the game out. We need the secondary to step up, and we need to go in there – I think we have an excellent opportunity with Denver. We need to go in there off of a bye week, refreshed, feeling good when Peyton Manning is not feeling very good, and we need to get to the quarterback and disrupt him. Our secondary needs to play well, and then we offensively need to get Alex Smith to keep his head up and find receivers down the field. This team can be beat, as evidenced by the Indianapolis Colts. If the Chiefs can go in and beat Denver, I think we have an excellent shot. We don't play them again. This is our second game. If we can win one of those games, the rest of our games are against San Diego. We have a couple against Oakland and then some other teams with losing records. Most of the teams we play are under 500 records. So we can theoretically win out, and I don't expect them to win out. If we can win most of those games, we could afford to drop one or two of those games and still be within the hunt to make the playoffs, and I think we can make the playoffs. So, you know, don't give up hope yet because I think they'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't wait to beat Peyton Manning, man. It's getting to the point where it's, you know, I used to like him in Indianapolis, and then I hated him in the playoffs, and now I hate him in the AFC West more than anything, I think.
Yeah, I'll give it to Chris Peters with a pick six.
What'd you say?
I say Chris Peters will take a pick six on Peyton Manning all the way to the end zone. It'll be the second one of the season, and the rookie will look really good. Guys,
Marcus
thank
Peters,
you so
well
much.
Done, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Marcus Peters, excuse me. Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to the Bills postgame show as we are now at the final. The Bills have won 22-17. Now, you know, here the Bills are 5-4 and have literally lost three of the last four games. They were looking really, really good right from the get-go at the beginning of the season. Now they're looking like they're imploding. Matt, is this a team that's heading in the wrong direction, or is this just a midseason hiccup that they will get straight?
I think this is who that team is. I mean, like, look, heading in the right direction or the wrong direction, they're an 8-8 team. I mean, you tell me. They're a middle of the pack. So are they going up towards the middle of the pack or down towards the middle of the pack? Who knows? But they're a middle of the pack team. This isn't a playoff team. This isn't a team that's going to come out and be elite. They have a good defense. I mean, you know, they have a fairly good defense. It's not some sort of an elite defense. And they have an okay offense. I don't think this is a team that's going to do amazing. So you tell me, up or down to the middle.
You know, honestly, I think that they came on strong due to the fact that they had a new coach, new blood, new energy going on in New York. But now it's all kind of falling apart. And it's typical of when you bring in a new coach with that new energy and you get that all fired up thing. I really don't see them winning more than two more games this entire season, especially with the fact that their quarterback situation is not looking better. Ryan Fitzpatrick was 15 for 34, 193 yards. There, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is good for like five or six games, and then you start to watch his statistics dwindle. He had two touchdowns, two interceptions tonight, only a 57.6 quarterback rating. To me, you can't do anything if your quarterback's not going to do anything.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with that. Again, same thing. Hey, you know, up to the middle or down to the middle, I don't think this is a team that's going to come in and be amazing. And, I mean, I think that's kind of what we can expect out of them.
And we got another team going the opposite direction. As we all saw the implosion of the Buffalo Bills a couple of weeks ago in London, Now we got a team that's actually won a couple of games, and Tyrod Taylor is looking serviceable. I mean, he kind of reminds me of a poor man's Russell Wilson, a mobile quarterback, protects the ball relatively well, throws for a pretty good average, that kind of thing. But it's not one of these guys. You just wanted to say that, I know.
He's got a better arm. He's a better runner. He's got better decision making. I mean, just because Russell Wilson's been.
Yeah. It's beginning to work. You keep going. Let's see what happens. No, LeSean McCoy is the player of this game, in my opinion. 19 carries for 112 yards, 5.9 yard average. And see, he's sitting there right there being shady, just hanging out with the guys, talking post game on Thursday Night Football. Is this finally going to turn around and the Bills might actually have a chance at a playoff? I mean, they're 5-4 right now, and because they just beat the Jets, they're number two in that division, only behind the Patriots. What do we have?
I don't think they're going to beat the Patriots. But, I mean, I think that's a good wild card team. I definitely do. I think they have an opportunity to get in there. They're 5-4. That's not a horrible record. Look, with the NFL this year, we need to redefine what a horrible record is, because you're going to see some teams with very mediocre records, possibly losing records, winning divisions this year. This is kind of a different year than we've had in a while. So this team, I think, is a wild card team. And I think that's a tough team. When everyone's healthy and they're playing the way they can and that defense is clicking, that's a tough team to beat. They have a good defense. Ronald Darby is an absolute monster, rookie of the year probably, on the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, they have a lot of players. That front seven is beastly as well. This is a tough team if they're all playing well. So I think they make the playoffs.
All right. Guys, while we're getting close to that Shock the Jock time, I need you to go ahead and send some text in. Go ahead, text 77948. Type the word text, and then space, and then the message. It could be about anything, guys. Any question you want, we're ready to answer it. I've got about half a dozen here already, but I want some better ones to choose from, as in some of these are slanted in a very negative direction. So please go ahead and toss away.
Are people talking trash about us?
Some of them who are first-time listeners tonight decided to blow up the time machine with all kinds of, like, unusual stuff. But
well done.
Okay.
I say give those airtime. Those are genius. I'll take it. You want to be a crazy person to listen to the show? Get going with it. Bring it on.
So Matt, the whole situation here in the Rex Ryan restructuring of the Buffalo Bills, it looks like finally coming to pass. It looks like this team could end up a playoff team, and it looks like they could end up, of course, a wild card. It looks like they could end up in a winning situation for years to come, as this team is built not just on youth, it's also built on some veteran leadership. So that blend that's happening at this point, it's just a couple of key components away from being a very strong 11-5, 10-6 on a regular basis kind of team. What are the couple of positions Rex Ryan needs to fill this year coming up in the draft and in free agency to put him over the hump?
I mean, I don't know if he needs to fill any position. You tell me. Maybe you have a better take on that. But I feel like some positions he's really young at. That secondary, I mean, you have Ronald Darby. This is his first year. The defense is fairly stout, but they're still learning. As those players get older, they're going to learn. They have a very veteran front line, so I think that's fine. And then, I mean, quarterback, obviously. You also brought in a lot of players from other places. I don't think it's necessarily fixing a position within the team. I think it's getting these guys to understand each other and play together for a while, because they're only going to get better together. Tyrod Taylor, he didn't even know if he was going to be the starter. Now he's the starter. They know it's him. But give him, right, a little bit of time to get used to this position, to understand the NFL, to play with some of the other players that are on there, and for them to develop some chemistry. I think that's what takes the team to the next level, not necessarily filling a position.
Curious of what your takes are, listeners. Go ahead and dial us right now. The phone lines are completely open, 347-850-8627. I'm going to say it slowly so that way you can dial as you're hearing, 347-850-8627. We want to hear what you have to say about tonight's game, where you think the both teams are going. We want to hear your take. You're the radio DJ today. We're the listener. Give us a call, okay? We're starting to get some good text in right now.
I wish you would have read the crazy ones.
One of them, I'll just go ahead and toss this one out there because it's a good one, and we could go ahead and talk about it while we're waiting for a caller. What two teams do you think will be in the Super Bowl this year? This is from the 816.
Well, that is a great question. I think it's going to be – I think it's going to be the New England Patriots and the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
No, that's a pretty blatant pick, but it's obvious. But I don't see anybody coming out to beat the New England Patriots. And I don't really see anybody – I mean, it'll either be Carolina or Green Bay. I don't see anyone else in the NFC that's going to be close to beating either one of those teams. And on the AFC side, I really don't see anyone that can with New England Patriots. I don't think Cincinnati can come there and beat them. I just don't. So I think that's what it'll be.
Okay. I agree with you on the New England Patriots. As far as an AFC team, that's a team I have the most confidence in going into this part of the league. Now, if Tom Brady ends up getting that four-game suspension thrown on right before the playoffs, which I believe Roger Goodell might do, I'll go with the Cincinnati Bengals on that. But my NFC representative, which I think everybody here is going to be very surprised because everybody expects me to say Seattle Seahawks, but that's not it. I'm going to say the Minnesota Vikings. I know most people are like, huh? What? Yeah, the Minnesota Vikings are a team that they have a good record and they have players at every position to excel later on in the playoffs. They're deep at every position. And when you get that sort of like chemistry, you could start saving players by rotating them out and keeping them fresh and playing less amount of plays. And they were my pick actually for the NFC from week one. So yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. And
here's the problem with that, Nash.
Okay.
I can't see any team, even them. I can't see them going in to Carolina and beating that team. That offense can't beat that defense. I don't think that there's even a chance of that. And I don't see anyone stopping Cam Newton, especially not in Carolina.
No, Carolina has too many holes at receiver. I think that they are a one-dimensional team, and at this point, they're getting away with it because nobody has them figured out. But as they get further along in the season, I think you're going to see three or four losses from Carolina in that second half of the season. I think you're going to see them still probably have home field advantage and probably even win their first game in the playoffs in the divisional round and go to the conference championships, but then they'll sputter. I just don't see them having that ability to beat a mega elite team on a huge stage with all the national attention, all the media, all the glory, all the pizzazz that goes on. I just don't see that team being geared to that at this point. If they were to somehow get up there like Megatron, okay, I'll change my opinion, but that's not going to happen.
That would have been a heavy trade deadline. Huh?
Wow.
It would. It would be a very, very heavy trade. But I think it would have been enough for Carolina over the top. You know, right now the division leaders are in the AFC are, of course, we got New England. And then we got the Cincinnati Bengals. One division in the AFC that's absolutely utterly horrible, and that's the AFC. It's like I don't think there's a team in there that has more than three wins. And you got a division. Okay, Indianapolis is 4-5, and they're top of it. But the Texans are 3-5. There's not one winning team in that whole division. You could pretty much wipe everything that's going to come out of the AFC South out of the contention, with leaving only the Denver Broncos. And as the season goes on, Peyton Manning's arm is going to get weaker. So,
yeah.
The AFC is going to be between New England and
they're going to lose to Chiefs this weekend. That's going to be hard on them.
Exactly. Guys, it's everybody's favorite time. It is time for Shock the Jock.
Attention, everyone. It's fun game time. Okay, everyone, it's time to play a game.
It's time to play Shock the Jock, where you ask the questions and one answer is a complete lie. If the audience figures out which one it is, we will shock the jock.
I tell you, you can't make this shit up. I need a new job.
All right, guys. So if you know the rules to the game, one of us is going to be lying to one of these three questions that are going to be asked. Your job is to figure out which one it is and then text the show 77948, type the word text, and say who is lying and what question. So if you think Matt is lying on question number one, you type the word Matt, and the number one. Okay? So here we go. The first question, and I love this question, so I give it out to 360 who came up with this great question. If you had a purge day, what would you do? Kill, steal, stock X's, light their homes on fire? What would you
do? This is a question right down. You are a sick, demented mofo. This question is right up your alley.
Go for it. It's your first.
I mean, I'd probably loot some places. That's about, I could, there's some thing, you know, I'm trying to think of things that I need. I'd definitely probably get some new kicks, a couple pairs. That would be cool. Maybe I'd think of some stuff that my kids wanted. And, oh, you know what? I'd get some guns, too. There's good gun stores around. Yeah, the problem is gun stores are probably well-defended, so it's hard to want to loot there. That's it. I mean, there you have it. I mean, I wouldn't do anything horrible. I'd go out and probably try and get some stuff that I've been wanting that I can't afford. That's about it. Maybe I'd get a Land Rover or something, some cool vehicle or something like that. But that's it. Pretty tame here. I've done all my purge days already.
You would go have fun at Best Buy, I imagine.
Yeah, get a Mac.
Okay, so Dave, here's what I would do. And this is an odd truth, and I could be lying even though I said it. I have a lot of care for my family, and I saw the movie The Purge. So I would use my military training and my conception of keeping my family safe by not doing anything other than hunkering down one of these houses that I know is out in the middle of absolute nowhere in BFB, completely nobody wants to trample through the woods in the middle of nowhere and just hole ourselves up in there for 24 hours, armed to the teeth, and ready to destroy anything that moves. That's what I would do. I would be thinking about safety first. I'd be on the defensive, not the offensive.
Good one.
Okay.
All right.
As a forever car, what would you choose?
That's a good one. A forever car. So, like, you have to have it now till forever.
Yeah, it's the car you're going to have forever. It's always going to be in the exact same condition that you purchased it in. Which car would you choose as your forever car?
That's a tough question. It would probably be either, oh, you know what? It's a sweet Dodge minivan. That's what it is. A brand new Dodge minivan, because the things have so many uses. I don't know how many kids you're going to have. You can get them all in and out very easily. It can store a ton of stuff. And if you had to live in it, if situation warranted, you could live in it, and you'd probably be pretty comfortable. You could put surf racks on top of it. It could be any kind of a vehicle that you wanted. Yeah, that's what I would definitely do, because that's preparing for everything. I'm in. Dodge minivan.
This just in. You heard it on Jock Journal Radio first that Matt is a woman. All right.
Hey, my when I'm comfortable car in my Dodge minivan and you're in some crappy sports car and you're trying to live and sleep in that sports car because your wife's kicked you out again, then, you know, I mean, you're going to be knocking on the minivan door asking to stay there.
Boom. I might be asking for gas. Because what I'd purchase here is a souped-up Hummer. The thing is perfect for the zombie apocalypse. It's absolutely roomy and spacey, and it's got enough amperage where if you want to, like, stuff like computer equipment or roaming internet or anything else to that extent, you have the ability to do that from a vehicle like that. Plus, I drove one when I was in Iraq. Though military Humvees are all diesel and really crappy, have governors on it, you can't go real fast, I know what they do, okay? We're getting so many good questions right now for Shock the Jock. I'm going to have to save some of these for tomorrow night and censor a couple of the other ones. Okay. Here we go. Last one. This guy at work keeps touching my butt. Is he a real but he's a real favorite at the office. People like him. Do I say something and get him fired or the risk of being ostracized or even myself? What do I do in this case?
Great question. I'm glad someone asked that. It really, I feel like it depends on what kind of a touch it is. Is it like a grazing touch on the cheek, the side of the cheek? Or is it like, you know, where they slide down the back and the finger presses in a little bit, right? Is it a full grab with a finger pressed toward the butthole? Or is it just a kind of a graze? You know, if it's just a pat on your cheek, who cares? But if it's on the verge of you know, if it's a real, you know, if it's a slide with a finger press.
On the verge of penetration?
Yeah, I mean, if it's to that point,
on the verge of making your underwear brown, is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying, hey, if it's just a graze, who cares, right? What do you care? Maybe it'll even benefit you. If it's the other one, you know, if it's a finger press, then you probably should say something unless you're into it. Definitely, maybe say something to that person first. Just be like, hey, I'm not into this, obviously. Maybe you got the impression that I was into this. Probably happens to you, Nash. Maybe you got the impression that I'm into this sort of thing, but I'm not into this sort of thing, and I don't appreciate it.
Wow. And we just learned all about the degrees of butt touching. My belief on this whole thing is heck yeah, you go for it. Here's the worst case scenario. Is that you get a paid vacation for about 6 months if you end up getting fired, because you're going to get unemployment. And if you go ahead and get this guy fired, then you can also run out with a nice little lawsuit, take out $40,000 or $50,000 from the company, as they will probably also have to put together a severance package, $40,000, take care of a lot of my debt, that kind of thing. I would definitely run with this to the best. And because somebody's touched my butt, I'm going to be upset. Yeah.
Terrible advice. Again, unless the person's your supervisor or you've said something and no one's doing anything about it, you don't have a lawsuit. And not everyone's a homophobe. Maybe it's a compliment to you that you're an attractive person and they want to grab your butt, right? Not everyone, Nash is a little bit of a homophobe. Just because someone touches your butt, you don't say anything, doesn't make you gay.
If somebody touches my butt, at that point I have like a turtle head pump. I really don't want my turtle head kissing my underwear, and that person just made that happen. So, guys, let's go ahead and clap tonight, and we'll go ahead and begin taking people's things. Most people think that Matt was a liar so far, and in fact, while we're taking those in, I wanted to let you know that someone else came up with the same question of, if your child became a zombie, would you try to kill? Would you kill him or try to save him? So this is the second time we've got that awesome question. But guys, that question was answered time last week. Go ahead and listen to our podcast for the answers. And people
That's a
are
brutal
saying
question.
That
Don't ask that anymore. That's a torturous question.
It is. It really is. Guys, they say Matt lied on number one. You want to spill the beans? I was not the liar tonight. Matt was. Matt, you got 20 seconds.
Yeah, I was a liar about the car question. That was the one. Was that number one or two? Forever car.
Number two. That was two.
Okay. Yeah, I would have... I have a Toyota Tundra, and it's the baddest vehicle on the face of the planet. It's got a ton of room. I'd throw a camper shell on that baby, and it would suit all the same purposes as the minivan, and I'd be good to go. So that would I have my forever vehicle, and it's sick, so I would stick with that one.
All right. Matt would go with the Toyota Tundra, a gas-guzzling 5.7 V8. All right. So with that, we're going to go ahead and close out tonight. Tomorrow night, we are going to go ahead and talk about all the things that are going on inside of Week 10 of the NFL. I'm Nash.
And I'm Matt.
And you're listening to NFL Late Night Talk.
That was NFL Talk Late Night from Jack Journal with the biggest morons in the country. If you aren't asleep already, it might be time to get to bed. However, I'm sure most of you are still looking for me on AshleyMadison.com.